All right, can we describe what exactly your life has been since the end of the game? Like, where were you as the fourth quarter is winding down to where you are at this moment right now?
Well, Chris, that's a better question than you wanted it to be. I have a commitment here in Philadelphia on Mondays where I do a show with the Eagles. I can't really get an Eagle today, obviously, for my show. But I had to be back today. And the only way I could do that is to basically leave right after the game. And I went into the winner's locker room, the Eagles, had an unbelievable time, had to turn down about 5 party invitations, left the stadium, immediately drove to Madison, Wisconsin, 4 hours away, took a 5:40 flight from Madison to Chicago, took a flight from Chicago to Newark, drove from Newark to Philadelphia, and here I am on the way to my show. That's my life, and I am very, 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 very tired, but I don't care because we won the Super Bowl.
Now, we were listening a little bit to Philadelphia Talk Radio today. Chris had it on his computer. I didn't think I was listening to Philadelphia Radio. Everybody sounded so happy. That's not Philadelphia Radio.
Oh, yes, it is. When you win a Super Bowl, you've never won one. It sure is. This is the greatest place to be, Bob, in the world when you win. Doesn't happen that often as far as pulling off a championship, but it's never, you know, it's been a bucket list thing for families, for generations. Obviously, to win a Super Bowl or an NFL championship, they had one since 1960, but it's here, and you've seen a lot of joy spill out uncontrollably, and it'll keep going probably. Chris will explain this to you, but literally for years.
WIP radio host Paul Jalovich joining us here at Idaho Sports Talk. Why this team? Why this team led by Doug Peterson that was, what, 55-1 odds or something like that to begin the year? Out of all the Eagles teams that have ever played during the Super Bowl era, it's this one.
It's a great question, Chris. This team fit like a glove. And sometimes chemistry is easy to define and sometimes it's not. And this one, Howie Roseman and his crew, great personnel crew, Joe Douglas, Andy Weidel, Tom Donahoe, assembled for Jeffrey Lurie, a crew that just fit like a glove. Now, Chris, they did have an advantage. I explained to everybody at the beginning of the year that the Eagles have an advantage. I didn't think they would get them the Super Bowl, but I think it did. And the Eagles had an advantage in that they had a franchise quarterback under a rookie contract. You saw that with Seattle for a while. You see it with the Rams and Jared Goff. So it gives them about $20 million extra dollars to spend because you're not paying Carson Wentz what New England's paying Tom Brady or any other franchise quarterback. And they made the right moves. And unbelievably, guys, there were a lot of serious injuries on this team. And everyone, Jason Peters, Darren Sproles, Chris Maragos, obviously the quarterback, the kicker, they withstood them. And Jordan Hicks, and it's hard to define, Chris, but you know what a good team is when you see it. And when we saw it from week one here, and obviously Nick Foles playing like he did for Carson Wentz when everybody gave up on the Eagles, showed the country what kind of quarterback he is and was for the Eagles in 2013, and showed that that was no fluke on the biggest stage there is.
Paul Jalovich joining us from WIP Radio in Philadelphia on his way to do his show after a long trip getting back to Philadelphia, but a very good trip. Paul, when did you think the Eagles had a shot at the Super Bowl? At what point? And then what was your reaction watching the Rams game in which Wentz got hurt?
I thought the Eagles had a shot at the Super Bowl. You stick 7 games into the season when it was pretty clear that there was no real gorilla in the NFC and that the Eagles were very good, and that they were able to overcome injuries, and they fit like a glove. Obviously, Carson, having the great year that he was having, could have been the league MVP. Obviously, wasn't when he got hurt against the Rams. I'm not going to say I gave up the ghost. I just didn't. I saw Nick Foles here a few years ago, and this is a team that's not completely dependent upon its quarterback. They had a terrific defense. Obviously, they didn't play great defense last night. But if Nick could just hold the fort, they could beat anybody in the NFC. They'd already basically clinch the number one seed by that point. And if you can win home playoff games, you can play in the Super Bowl. If you play in the Super Bowl, you can win the Super Bowl. So that's kind of how my thought process went.
you guys won't have to be talking about a quarterback controversy come all offseason, will you guys?
Chris, zero. There's no
There you go.
They're also not going to trade Nick Foles. I'd be shocked if the Eagles trade Nick Foles, who's under a two-year deal, money-friendly to the team, obviously, but they don't know about Carson Wentz and when he's coming back. He can say he's coming back game one, and they can think that. But you're a defending Super Bowl champion. You can't leave yourself without a quarterback, and the third-string quarterback, Nate Sudfeld, is the only game he played in his NFL career was the Dallas game. I don't see how you can trade Nick Foles with Carson Wentz's uncertainty around him, even if you got an offer for a first-round pick or the like, because obviously draft picks don't matter if you don't have a quarterback.
Agree 100%, Paul. I just think that, especially in light of, you know, Wentz, you know, maybe he'll come back. Maybe it takes longer than you think. You got nothing else.
But he's a quarterback, guys. When Wentz
agree with that.
I want people, there's absolutely zero controversy about that.
I mean, that's how good, when you're the MVP basically of the season up until Thanksgiving, I feel like you can get your job back, even if your backup quarterback goes out and wins the Super Bowl. But that's the so unique thing about it, because it's not like Philadelphia is, you know, ripe with a bunch of championships for one guy who wins the Super Bowl MVP to be the backup quarterback the next year. It goes to show you, I guess, how good that they have it there in Philly going
they
forward.
Do.
Okay.
You saw it with the Giants. You also saw a kid in the audience. I mean, a lot of teams, Chris, and you understand this. Maybe you can explain to Bob, because I don't know if Bob would inherently get this. Philly's in the middle of a renaissance right now. Obviously, you saw item one last night on television, but Joel Embiid was at the game. The Sixers asked if they could charter a plane and fly up a few of them. The Sixers, obviously, are not a championship caliber squad, but in a couple of years might be. Mike Trout was at the game. The Eagles' biggest fan from Millville, New Jersey, which is right here, not far from where you're from, Chris. Obviously, he's not a Philly right now. He's a free agent in a couple of years. It's a great time to be a Philadelphia sports fan, and there are other teams here who are ready to rise, too, and everybody's on the way up. So is this the first of a few? It's never been, but it could be.
The golden era about to begin. Now, on that note, this parade that is scheduled for Thursday, what is this thing going to be like?
Well, Philly is obviously not the biggest city in the country. You guys realize that. But it's going to be the biggest parade the country's ever seen. Philadelphia is more of a city dependent upon sports than any city in America. There's absolutely no way that's not the case. Any city can claim whatever it wants. I'll put the evidence of Philly before you, and you can make your own judgment. It was 8-1 at least at the Super Bowl last night. Eagle fans over Patriot fans, who were tiny in number compared to the Eagle fans. And this parade, the Phillies parade about 10 years ago had, you know, millions, who knows how, estimates the crowd, but it's going to be something. I would assume, Chris, that the thought of flying home has crossed your mind. I'm sure you're not going to be able to do that, but am I correct in the thought of flying home had crossed your mind at least?
Yeah,
possibility for this parade.
Just seeing the city yesterday, just seeing the Snapchat, seeing the Twitter videos, seeing the local news coverage. Of course, man, you want to be there. You just want to experience it. But you know, it's not a bad place to be watching it in Boise.
Do they know where it's going to go, Paul? Is it going to come up Broadway, or what are they going to do?
Yeah, well, what they're going to do, Bob, apparently, is it's still kind of in the formative stages, but this part is, you know, pretty much not. Philly has two kind of iconic areas. One is the stadium area, because all of our stadiums are right in the same place. All four teams play within feet of each other, and it's unique, and it's easy to get to. But the negative of that is even the stadiums, and this will tell you a lot about Philly, a 75,000-seat football stadium is too small to handle anywhere near the crowd they're going to expect. So while the Phillies parade ended at the stadium complex at the end of Broad Street, this one's going to start there, go up Broad Street, and then go up JFK Boulevard to the Art Museum, which is another iconic spot where we have a spot where the Pope came a couple of years ago, a spot where the NFL draft was this year, and that can handle far more people than the stadium area can. So it looks like that's the parade route from the stadium to the Art Museum, and You may not want to be driving that day.
I don't think so. Paul Jolovich joining us, WIP radio host. Now, lastly, does this change sports talk radio in Philly? Like, this is, for me, somebody growing up there, like, the whole fundamental part about Philadelphia sports talk radio and the culture there was they're never really going to win. Like, that was the biggest defining characteristic of it all was, nah, they're not going to win. Something's going to go wrong, and we're going to talk about it when it goes wrong. But now they've won.
Well, that's true, Chris. But, you know, Mike Schmidt once said, and this is probably the best quote I can give you guys relative to this. Mike Schmidt once said, Philly is the thrill of victory and the agony of reading about it the next day. And, or talking about it, obviously, as talk radio came into being. And, yes, there's Negadelphia, which a lot of people say always find the black hole in the golden fleece and talk about it. It'll be very interesting, Chris, to see. You know, this doesn't affect the Phillies. This doesn't affect the Sixers. This doesn't affect the Flyers.
But I think it does, in a way.
The psyche of a city. Well, it does in the fact that it affects the psyche of a city. And the people think, well, geez, the Eagles won. But I guess my team can. I mean, we had questions for years. Who's the next team to win a title? You heard them when you were home, constantly. Mm-hmm. I mean, since 2008 and before that, it was 25 years, 1983. Who's the next team to win? Well, now we know the answer to that. And it's going to be very interesting. Your question, I don't think, has a solid answer. I don't know.
Uncharted territory coming up.
Guys, I don't know how Boise is as a sports town or what Boise values. But, and I think you'll understand what I'm saying, Chris, and then maybe agree with me, maybe not. But other than the end of World War II or something like that, which is, I don't really have to define. Yesterday was the biggest day in the history of the city of Philadelphia, a city that's been here for over 200 years, and that's how much sports defines the culture here. The biggest day in the history of the city, without question.
Paul Jolovich, WIP Radio in Philadelphia. Hope you had the time of your life. It was everything you hoped for. And safe travels back,
Incredible.
And good luck on the show.
Yeah, it was really unbelievable. I can tell you two things about this weekend that are absolutely ironclad. One, Eagle fans will travel anywhere. And two, Minnesota is bleeping cold.